Okay, we're going to pick up from the Mishnah on Daf Pei Zayin and Beis. Again, I apologize about missing yesterday's shiur. For anyone who might be listening online, it's because my wife had a baby girl the night before, so I was unable to make it, Baruch Hashem. But, okay, we're on Daf Pei Zayin and Beis. We're at the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Shir mixes a get for kasva b'daf ha-sheni ve'edim ilamata kasha. What if the guy doesn't finish writing the get in one column, so part of the get he leaves over from the bottom and writes it on the second column on the page, and then he signs underneath the last line of the get, so it's going to be kasher. Now, this is only true by get; it's not necessarily true by other things that require ksiva b'sefer. For instance, Tosfos Maseches Menachos Daf Lamed Gimel writes that by Megillah Sota, where the pasuk says v'kasav b'sefer, that you have to write in the sefer, it actually requires a sefer hamavurar. You need it to all be in one column. By a get, however, there's no such requirement. It says v'kasav la'sefer. It doesn't say b'sefer, and therefore it doesn't have to be sefer hamavurar. You're allowed to write a get, therefore, even in two columns, and it's going to be kasher. The Gemara will discuss what the possible chashashos might be of putting it in two columns and why we're not concerned about them. Says the Mishnah Vayitu, chasmu eidim barosh daf, o minatzad the bachad, and o minatzad, o me achrav beget pashut pasul, in a normal get, not a get makusha, a regular get that's supposed to be written on one side of the page. If the edim sign it on the top of the page, or on the side of the page, in the margins, or on the back of the page, that is going to be pasul. It has to be signed underneath the get. Now we're going to discuss when you have two gittin written on the same page and only one set of edim signed, what we assume the edim are going on. So let's say you start writing, you write two gittin on a page, both of them start from the middle of the page and work toward the end. So that obviously when you hold the paper one way, one of them is upside down and the other one is right side up, you flip it around, the other one is upside down. So that it's Rosh Hashanah beside Rosh Hashanah. The tops of the two gittin are adjacent to each other. The Eidim Be'emtza and the Eidim are signed right in between, right in the middle of the page. So Shneim Psulim, both of the gittin are going to be pasul. Sofer Shalzeb, because obviously no matter which get you want to attach those edim, the edim are on top of the get. They're not on the bottom of the get because the get starts from the middle of the page. Sofer Shalzeb b'tzad Sofer Shalzeb ve'edim be'emtza. What if you start two gittin, one each from each end of the page? Meaning, so you start from one side of the page and it ends in the middle of the page. Then you start from the other side of the page, another get, and it ends in the middle of the page. Ve'edim be'emtza, and the edim are signed in the middle. So esh edim nikur nimo kasha. Whichever get the edim are naturally read with is going to be kasher, meaning for one of these getting the edim are going to be upside down, and for one of them they're going to be right side up. So the one that they're right side up for, that's the one that's kasher. Rosho shel zeh b'tzad sofo shel zeh va'edim be'emtza esh edim nikrum b'sofo kasher. So if you have two getting written, one literally right on top of the other, but they're both right side up, it's just you write straight down the page. You write a get, edim, get. So the halacha is that the edim only count for the first get. It only counts for the get that it can be read with naturally. Get shekaso ivris ve'ed of yivanis, yivanis ve'ed of ivris, edach ivri ve'ed echad yivani, kasher. Any of these cases where the get's written in Hebrew and the signatures are in Greek, or vice versa, or there's one Hebrew signature, one Greek signature, a lot about Greek yesterday, so that's going to be kasher. Ksav sofer ve'ed kasher. If the sofer writes the get, and then you have one additional aid, it's going to be kasher. The Gemara is going to discuss whether, and we've had that discussion a little bit already, whether that's ksav sofer or chasam sofer, right? Does that mean that the sofer just writes the get, and he's and we recognize that the sofer was writing it, and there's only one additional aid, or does it mean that the sofer writes the get and signs it, and then there's one additional aid that is going to be kasher? Ish ploni aid kasher. If a guy signs as an aid and he only writes ish ploni aid, that's going to be kasher. Meaning he doesn't write ish ploni ben ish ploni. He just says Ruvain aid or ben ish ploni aid kasher. To say ben ish ploni as aid, that's kasher as well, even though he doesn't write his own first name. He writes only who his father is. Ish ploni ben ish ploni velo kasav aid kasher. If you say so and so ben so and so, and he even though he leaves out the word aid, that's going to be kasher too. Why is that kosher? How do you know he's writing Le'edus? Obviously, we assume that you wouldn't put your father's name there also unless you were trying to be an aide. Obviously, the word aide is just to indicate that you're signing this as that you mean to serve as an aide over here, and it's evident that, that's what you intend to do when you put your father's name. And that's what the Nekiya Adas in Yerushalayim used to always do. They would write their name, the father's name. They would not write the word aide. Kasav Chanichaso v'Chanichasa. Kasha, what is Chanichaso? So Rashi says, Shemli Voishal Mishpacha Kula. A last name, it sounds like. A name that the entire family is a family name. A name that the entire family is called by. So even though it's not personal to you, it's still going to be Kasha when you write the Chanicha. So going back to the first case of the Mishnah, so we said you write the get on one side of the page, and then you then it goes up to the other side of the page, right? Then it finishes off the get in the second column. So how could that be good? And maybe there were two gittin written on a piece of paper. Piece of paper looks like a normal 8x11 piece of paper right now, and it's in two columns. But really, originally, it was 8.5x14, right? It was a much longer piece of paper. And what happened was, there was a get written on the bottom of the right-hand column. There was a get written on the top of the left-hand column. You cut off the bottom half of the get written on the, right? You cut off the bottom 3 inches of the page and the top 3 inches of the page. Doesn't work out. Whatever, bottom inch and a half of the page, top inch and a half of the page, and it happens to look like it's a continuation of the same get, but it's really two separate gittin. So maybe that's what happened. How do you know that's not what happened when you're dealing with a get that's written in two columns? So when the expression is used, because of this man de bas of edim de kam, maybe you cut off these man of the second one and the edim of the first one. It's lav dafka's man and edim. It means maybe you cut off the top of the second one, and Adim, since they're generally signed on the bottom, means the bottom of the first one. So Rabbi Abba Marav, Kishyesh Revach Milmata. No, you know that didn't happen because there's empty space on the bottom of the page. So obviously, if there was originally a get written there, then it wouldn't turn empty. You would have had to cut off right in the middle of the get. The words would have gone down all the way to the very bottom margin of the page. So you see there's an empty space in the page. So obviously, it's not it wasn't cut off at the bottom. Frankly, more okay, fine, it wasn't cut off at the bottom. But Vidilma Zman de Basra Megas Gazia. So maybe you wrote a half a get, you decide, I'm not going to do it. And then you wrote a whole get in the second column, and then you cut off the top of the page. So it doesn't work. Just like we say that we're dealing with the case where there's Ravach Milmata, so Hachanami Kshish Ravach Milmala, we're dealing with the case where there's space on the top of the page, so you have nothing to worry about. You have nothing. You don't have to assume. You can't assume, rather, that this was part of a get that was written and was cut off, because obviously there wouldn't be space above it if it was if the beginning of this very get was cut off from the top. Says Tosfos, Mikan Yesh LaHachshu Gittin V'Shtaru She'in Ben Revach Klal Lo Lamala V'Lo Lamata. Meaning a regular. What if you have a regular get that has no revach whatsoever? It has no space whatsoever. So this is from here. It seems that it's totally kosher. When do we say that you need the revach? You only need the revach when there's a get written half on one side, half on the other side, and that's because we're concerned that there's that originally it was two separate gittin, it wasn't the same get. That implies in general there is no such requirement in general to have revach. It's only when there's a specific concern that it comes to address. Okay, and says Tosos, but shouldn't you be concerned if there could have been other things written there? If there's no revach, how do you know that there weren't other tanais and other requirements written into the shtar that weren't cut off? Meaning, why is it that we're only concerned when it's in two separate columns? So he writes, "Vamar Rabbeinu Elchanan Afilu Achi Lo Cheshin Hashem Yachtoch Bal Hashtar Min Hashitin Shel Maila." You don't have to worry that he cut off some of the top lines. L'vishas Man V'Kol Zuchus Bal Hashtar Hu Lemala V'Lo Yachtoch Zuchuso. Because generally speaking, the most important stuff is right at the beginning. So he wouldn't cut off the things that relate most to what he's zocha, what he's able to receive, based on the fact that there might have been certain requirements outlined there as well. So fracting mar, okay, but vidilma imlucha imluch v'kasat. So there's space at the bottom, there's space at the top, but maybe the guy started writing a get, changed his mind, he decided he doesn't want to give a get, and then he continued to write again, right? Rashi has two different pshat than what the Gemara is asking over here. Rashi says, "Dilma imlucha imluch mitchila shalol legarsha Vahadar im lechla achuzman lachzer legamro, meaning he stopped in the middle and decided to decided not to divorce, and then decided to continue later on. Vinimtza rishon batel, then it would turn out that the first half of the get is totally batel because he had decided already not to use it. Or not necessarily that he decided not to give the get, but that he delayed significantly between the first half of the get and the second half of the get, and it happened on a different date. Why would we assume that? Because when there's space on the bottom and you just stopped in mid column, right? You're right in the middle of the column, and you just stop at the bottom of the page and leaving extra space, and then you pick up again from the top. So that's just odd. It looks like you didn't do this in one sitting. Had you done this in one sitting, you would have continued normally. So says Gemara, no, you don't have to worry. Diksiv hareat milamato mataris milamala. It's literally a mid phrase where it transfers from the bottom of one side to the top of the other side. It says hareat on the bottom, says mataris on the top. So you see, obviously, it was done. That was done in one sitting. That wasn't done over. There was no changing of heart in between. So, frankly, Marv Vidumlis Ramile, but maybe it happened that way that he did change his heart right in the middle. So, Marv said, "No, Kulei Haylo Chashin. We're not worried about that." Ravashi Amar Diadia Be Mitachtu the Megilta. Ravashi says that no, forget all these questions. We could answer all the questions that we just asked, all these issues that we're dealing with, very simply by saying that we could tell where the edges of the klaf are, and we know that there was nothing written here, not because there's space at the bottom, space at the top, then maybe he changed his mind. No. He wrote all the way down to the bottom of the page, started the second column from the top of the page. But sometimes paper is made with edges where you can tell what the edges of the page are, so you know it wasn't just sliced off, because you see what the edges of the page are. That's all it is. Says the Gemara Vayter, the Mishnah said, Chas Moed in Barosh Hadaf, that if the Edom sign on the top or the sides or the back of the page, that it's absolutely possible. So, frankly, Mara Eniva Rav Chasim in Atzad. Rav used to sign on the side of a get, on the side of a shtar. So you see that that it's okay to sign on the side. So, Hasim b'shagago klape ksav. You can sign on the side if the top of your signature is adjacent to the ksav of the get. So you can't sign on the side as if you're writing next to the get, but if you flip your signature over in a way that the gag of your signature is against the adjacent to the ksav of the get, that's going to be kosher. Ela I frekdemar really ela hadduktani hikif rosho shalzeh b'tzad rosho shalzeh ve'edim ba'emtza shneim psulin. So we said that if the two gittin are written both starting from the middle of the page, working their way toward the edges of the page, so the two tops of the gittin are adjacent to each other. And the Edom are signed in the middle of the Mishnah that said that it's possible. Why don't we just look which one is facing toward the ksav, and let it be kosher that way, whichever one is the gag of that signature facing toward the ksav. Meaning, if you've established that you don't actually need it to be written as if it is written directly underneath the get, you just need the gag of the signature to face the writing, so then it should be kosher over here as well. Just look which way the gag of the signature is facing. So it says, well, no, you misunderstood the case. It's not that the Edom are signed from right to left, or left to right, whatever language they're using, but on the paper. No, Hasam de Rami le Ki'ivra. The Edom are like a bridge between the two gittin. You have two gittin that both start somewhere around the middle of the page and work their way toward the edges, and the Edom are signed from down to up on the page, or from up to down on the page. Not from they don't go east west; they go north south. So that's the gag of the ksav of the signature is not facing either of the gittin, right? So frankly, Mar Ihachi, if that's the case, if that's what the Mishnah is talking about when it talks about Edom in middle, Sefer Diktanim Rosh Sebetzad Sofa Shalzev Edom Emsa Esh Edom Nikrin B'Sofa Kasher, the Sefer which says that you deal with the case of two gittin written one right above the other, and Edom are in the middle. So we said whichever one the Edom are read with is going to be kosher. But v'darami ki'ivra lava de'haymikri v'lava de'haymikri. But if the Edom are signed not going east west but going north south, so the Edom can't be read with either of the gittin because they're totally in the wrong direction. So says Gemara El Rav b'diski avachasim. So again, what was the kasha that led this whole discussion off, that caused this entire discussion? How could Rav have signed on the side of the get if signing on the side of the get is not good? So Gemara says, he didn't really sign on the side of a get. He signed on the side of a diski. And a diski is not such an important document. It doesn't really matter. A diski is a subpoena to come to court. That's all it is. So for that, you could sign even on the side. Just know that a signature is somewhere on the paper. It doesn't have to be in the right spot. Get your kasva livra sukhule, ksav sofer veib kasha. The Mishnah said that if a sofer writes a get, and there's even one eight on the get, that's going to be kasher. Amar b'yemya chasam sofer sheninu. One eight on the get means one eight plus the sofer itself. So what do you see? What's the chiddush then? That there are two eidim. What's the chiddush that one eight plus the sofer? Chiddush is that you're not worried that maybe the baal was mitzaveh to go tell Reuven to write again and Shimon and Levi to be the signatures. But when the guy was supposed to go tell Reuven to write again, he felt bad not asking him to sign, so he violated the tzivay baal and decided to ask Reuven to be one of the signatures as well. We're not worried that that's what happened. We assume that if Reuven is signed, even though he's the sofer, we assume he's authorized to sign. And it's okay. So I'm Rav Chista, I'm not Rav Yossi. That assumes, like the Shita of Rav Yossi, who says, Mili lo mimsur in l'shliach, meaning Reuven would never sign the get unless he was told directly by the Baal to sign the get. He wouldn't, because Mili lo mimsur in l'shliach, it wouldn't happen that Reuven would sign the get otherwise. So therefore, there's no reason for concern. Hayik subis chasam adasil kaved Rav Yavod aviyadle l'tufsa l'chasimus yadad d'chad tzad. There was a subis chasanim that came to Rav Yavod that they knew about the tufsa. They were able to recognize the tofes of the shtar. They knew that it was written by a sofer, and there was a chasima of a single aid. So savalach shuri, he wanted to be machshure based on that, because one aid was signed in it and you had a ksav sofer. So Rabbi Yirmiyah chasam sofer shaninu, and Rabbi Yirmiyah said, no, our Mishnah doesn't say one aid is good enough. Our Mishnah says that if the sofer signs on the bottom, it's good enough. But you see that he wanted to be machshirut because he obviously assumed that the Mishnah was talking about a case that the sofer didn't sign on the bottom. How do you know that the chassan didn't write the ksuba himself? Just because you see that it's written doesn't mean the chassan didn't do it himself. Meaning, even if you hold that the ksav sofer is good enough, that it's the handwriting of the sofer shows that obviously there was a second person involved. Maybe that second person is the chassan himself. So you see that it wasn't the derech. The Rama quotes this in the tshuva. The Rama is a tshuva about a Seder Kiddushin that he did on a Friday once. And not on a Friday, it was supposed to be on a Friday. They used to very often have weddings on Fridays so that they could save money. You're only going to buy meat once a week for Shabbos. So for the Sudas Chasana, they would have the wedding on Friday. Then they go into Shabbos and have the Shabbos meal together with the wedding meal. So the Rama said he was doing a Seder Kiddushin, and the fighting went so long about the ksuba and about what to put in and how much, and that her dowry wasn't, she was very poor, and she was a yosoma, the girl, so they couldn't put enough money into the dowry, and they were almost mevatel the shidduch. So they worked it out. By the time they worked it out, it was Shabbos already. So the Rama says that he did the kiddushin on Shabbos, and he discussed there what you do about the ksuba and why you don't have to worry about a chassan perhaps writing a ksuba later and saying this was a ksuba the whole time. So one of the things he mentions is this gemara is a raya. The chassan generally doesn't write his own ksuba. He won't write his own ksuba. Kasav chani chasa v'chani chasa kasher. So if he writes his or her family name, so that's kasher. The chanicha of a family goes back 10 generations. Rav Shimon Elazar Amar Gimel Doros, only up until 3 generations. Kasher, it's going to be kasher. Mikan Veilach Pasel, more than 3 generations away, it's going to be pasel. Keman Azahadar Amar Chanicha of a Begitten Ad Gimel Doros. Who do we assume it's going like when you say 3 generations? Keman Rav Shimon Elazar, like we just said. Amar Avuna Mikra, what's the pasuk to support this idea of 3 generations? He sold the banim with Bnei Banim Vinoshantem. So it says banim and bnei banim. So you see, banim is generation 2, bnei banim generation 3. Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi lo charve Eretz Yisrael acha avdu ba zayin batei din avodah zara. Eretz Yisrael was only destroyed when 7 batei din violated avodah zara. Ve'elu hein, these are the batei din of Yeravim ben Avat, Basha ben Achia, Va'acha ben Imri, V'yehu ben Namshi, Pikach ben Ramaliyahu, Menachem ben Gadi, V'hoshea ben Allah. Shenemar lo yoledes hashiva nafcha nafsha ba Hashim shaba od yom abusha v'chafra. So you see that yoledes hashiva, it's after 7 generations of batei din that are violating of avodah zarah. Amar v'ami mikra, he sold banim b'nei banim. Right, we said that, by the way, Rashi just said zayin batei din doesn't necessarily mean zayin batei din. It means zayin mishpacha shal malachim mimalchei Yisrael. 7 families from the Malchei Yisrael. Aye, what about all the Malchei Yehuda? who also violated Avodah Zarah. So Rashi says that doesn't count because they overlapped with the Malchei Yisrael. So since they were violating Avodah Zarah at the same time as the Malchei Yisrael were violating Avodah Zarah, it's all considered one. It means that Klal Yisrael is violating Avodah Zarah, so it all counts as one. He also says that whenever there was a king and his own son and his own grandson that violated Avodah Zarah, that all counts as one as well. That doesn't count as seven, because if you actually read through Navi, it's a lot more than seven that did Avodah Zarah, but they don't all count. And Rashi goes through the cheshbon why these specific names are counted, not their fathers, not their children, right? Why these are the ones that are focused. I don't have time to look into it, but that's an important Rashi to take a look at. Amler of Kana Ravasi the Rav Ksiv beHoshea ben Allah vayas hara beinei Hashem. It says beHoshea ben Allah that he's done ra beinei Hashem rak lo kemalchei Yisrael. He just wasn't quite as bad as Malchei Yisrael. Uksiv, and it also says Allah Allah shall maneser gomer, that the pasuk also says since he did bad, but not quite as bad as all the other kings, so it was on him that the Melech Asher came and caused all sorts of problems. So Amr Lahu, so meaning it's a question. What, because he wasn't quite as bad as the other kings, that's why he suffered? What do you mean? If he wasn't as bad, so maybe things should have gotten a little bit better. So Amr Lahu, Osim Pardeseo Shosh of Yerav Maladrachim Kdeshlo Yal Yisrael, Leregel Bahosheo Bitlan. What happened was that Yeravim ben Nevat was very evil. He didn't want anyone to go be able to regel, because Yeravim was worried that if people go to be able to regel, they're going to see that Yerushalayim is really where it's at. Yerushalayim is in Rechavim's domain, right? So he was worried that people are going to go and they're going to see that who's the real melech. I mean, the halacha is en yishiv ba'azara el machlus beis David bilvad. The only people that are allowed to sit in the azara are descendants of the machlus beis David. Yeravim was not a descendant of the machlus beis David. So if everyone goes and worships in the beis hamikdash, they're going to see Rechavim gets to sit in the azara. Yeravim does not get to sit in the azara. They're all going to rebel against Yeravim. So Yeravim set up two Eglei HaZahav, strangely, within his own domain, so that people can worship there. And he set up Shomrim on the roads to make sure no one's ever Olo L'Regel. So Hosha came and was Mevatel those Shomrim. V'afal became Lo Olo Yisrael L'Regel. Still Jews weren't Olo L'Regel. Amar Kosh Baruch Hu, Osun Shayim Shalom Olo Yisrael L'Regel, Osun Shanim Shalom Olo Yisrael L'Regel, Yalchu V'Shevi. So those years that they weren't being Olo L'Regel, they're going to go into captivity for that. What does the pasuk mean when it says that God will cause evil to befall us very quickly because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a tzaddik? That doesn't seem to follow, because Hashem is a tzaddik, is going to bring all this evil to us. It's a great tzedakah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us, that the Gol Tzidkio begins when the Gol Tzidkio is still going on. Meaning, this way we can adapt to Galus, because there's already an existing community with Torah there, where the Torah can be passed on to the new Galus, and then they can carry forward from there. What does that mean? When they would open up speaking Divrei Torah, everyone would sit there dumbfounded because the Torah was so amazing. And once they had what to say in Dvar Halacha, so no one else knew to respond anything to them because they were so good. The Kama Elef. Not sure what that means. Kama and how much? What? How many years? It's supposed to be 1,000 years, I guess. I'm not sure what the number that we're referring to. Ula Amar Shehiktim Shnei Shanim Livno Shatim. Ula says that the Golus started 2 years early. That 2 years before Vinoshantim, which is the Gematria 852, it started 2 years earlier. It started 850 years, and that's a great bracha, again, that we were able to start the Golus early so that we were able to adapt to the Golus while another Golus was already in existence. Amar Avach B'Yakov Shema Minah Meheru D'Mariam Timni Me'ev Chamishim V'Tartihu. So you see that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the word Mehera, he means 852 years. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that it would happen Mehera, that we were going to be born into Golus, and the Mehera happened 852 years after we came into Eretz Yisrael. So Frek Tosos, that doesn't prove anything, meaning Mehera, maybe Mehera means Mehera after you start sitting, not after we start entering Eretz Yisrael, Frek Tosos. So how do you know that Mehera, or maybe Mehera means after Vinishantim, after the 850 years of Ab, that's when Mehera is going to happen, and maybe Mehera means instantly. So says Tosos, Amri Dimitchila Miyalho Yovde of Elzacham Shapas Psalo Shal Micha Hayimahim. They had the Pesel Micha the whole time, so they were Ovid Avodah Zarah the entire time, right from the beginning they were Ovid Avodah Zarah. Says the Mishnah, get Okay, but quick background to this Mishnah. We all know the famous Rambam in the second parak of Hilchos Gerushin, Halacha Chaf, where the Rambam discusses the idea of forcing a husband to give a get. The halacha is that someone who gives a get ba'ones, it's not a good get. So what do we do when a husband doesn't want to give a get? You beat the living daylights out of the guy until he says Rotzani. And once he says Rotzani, so good, so then you can give the get. That's called that it's not forced because he says Rotzani. Frek the Rambam, v'lama lo batel get zeshare yuanus why do we say that the get is batel? After all, he's not. He's only saying Rotzani because you're beating him up. So says Rambam, Sheinom Ra'anus Alamisha Nechatz V'nitchak Lassos Davar Sheinom Mechuyubam Minatara. You only call someone honest when he's doing something that he's not halachically obligated to do. Avomisha Takfo Yitzra Hara Levatel Mitzvah Lassos Avera. But someone who's Yitzra Hara is convincing him, we just need to be more convincing than the Yitzra Hara. But we know deep down inside, he really wants to be Megarish. Says Ram, Fichas Zeshe, Inner Rosa Legarish. The guy who's saying he doesn't want to divorce his wife, but he's really halachically obligated to do so, Me'achashu Rotsa Lios Mi'Yisrael, if he really wants to be a Jew, V'Rotsu Lassus Kolam Mitzvah, so the Srachim and Averos, V'Yitzrahu Shetakvo. It's only his Yitzhar Hara that's getting the best of him. V'Kimit Shuhukat Shetashash Yitzhar, V'Am Rotsani Kvar Garish L'Ritzono. Once says Rotsani, he's Garish L'Ritzono. There is a lot of discussion we're not going to have time to get into, but there is a lot of discussion in the Achronim, what the Rama means when he says, Me'achashu Rotsa Lios Mi'Yisrael. Since after all he does want to be a Jew, does that mean to say that if the guy converted to Islam or Christianity that this doesn't work because you see he does not want to be a Jew, or do you assume that's also part of the Yetzer Hara? What is the Rambam trying to accomplish with that line? Some understood the Rambam, Marik writes that no, he has to really want to be a Jew, and if he converted to Islam or Christianity, the only reason we're able to force him is midin afkin rabban l'kedusha minay. It's not midin the normal get mu'usa, but pashas is not that way. Pashas is the minhag always was that we do force someone who converted as well. There's an Ar Sameach over here. That's a very, very good Ar Sameach. But again, we have to get moving. Says the Mishnah, Get mu'usa b'Yisrael kashu b'chavim pasul. If you have a forced get by a Jew is doing the forcing, so it's going to be kasher. By a guy who's doing the forcing, it's going to be pasul. But the chavim chavdin asavam lo, asei ma'ashe Yisrael am lach. But the guy is allowed to beat up the guy and say, do what the Jew says you should do, and that's going to be okay. Says Tosos, Ein lefareish that afilu beinyan zeh rotsa lomar d'bov v'chavim pasul mishlum lefnei v'lo lefnei av d'chavim af p'idov d'chavim ma'asen al pi Yisrael. Don't say that, meaning when we say we don't say the word kasher apostle. So what meaning at the end in parentheses you have the word over there v'kasher, but apparently that's not everyone's girsa, right? So it says don't explain this line to be saying that even when the guy is telling you to do what the Jews told you to do, that that's going to be possible as well because it's a guy. Meaning, because this is not considered doing it in front of the guy, and the guy are telling you to do what the Jews said to do, so that's considered doing it in front of the Beis Din of Yisrael. Because Tosfos says, I'll bring you a raya. Do you really think when you go to the Beis Din, it has to be the members of the Beis Din themselves that you think they really do the dirty work? They hire some bulvan, they hire some guy to beat you up. So that's what it is. That's what it means in front of the Beis Din of Yisrael, that a guy does the work for you. He says that that's what Pshat is. Right, that's going to work. That's called Beis Din Shel Yisrael. That's not possible. That's not called Beis Din Shel Akum when the guy is beating you up on behalf of the Jewish Beis Din. Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, get them usa be Yisrael be kedin kasher. When it's a get that's done kedin and the Jew is forcing it, meaning kedin, meaning the guy is supposed to be divorcing his wife. So then it's going to be kasher. Shalok kedin. Pasul uposel. However, if it's shalokadin, meaning if it's not one of the cases where you're supposed to divorce a wife, where he's mechuyev to divorce her, so then the get's going to be pasul if it's forced, but it will at least pasul her from kahuna because at the very least it's a reyach haget. Ubov the chavim kedin pasul uposel by a guy. If it's a guy doing the forcing, so then it's going to be pasul. The get's going to be pasul and it's going to pasul her if it's kedin. If it's a case where he really should be getting divorced and the guy he's doing the forcing, it's going to be a pasul get, but it's going to at least pasul her from kuhuna. Shalokadin, but if it's shalokadin and it's being done by a guy, I feel the reach get ain't well. Then it's nothing. There's not even a reach get. It's not even a pasul from kuhuna. So frankly, our manushuch, of the chavim b'nei asuyin in who is krushin and liskasher. If of the chavim are valid ways to are able to force someone, meaning that they're able to force someone to do the din Torah, so then it should be kasher when they, it should be totally kasher when they force. And if they're not able to do the forcing, so it should be totally pasul. Why do we say that it's pasul uposel when the Ovdei Kochavim does it kedin? So Amar Mesharshi, Dvar Torah, get mus above the Kochavim kasher. On a daraisa level, a guy really can force. Umatamam uposel, why do we say it's pasul? Shlote kalachas v'achas halachas v'tola atzma above the Kochavim v'kas atzma miyad baila. Because we don't want women, when they're having trouble in the marriage, to just go to run to the Gayim and have the Gayim force the husband, and that way she'll be mafkir herself from her husband. But really, on a daraisa level, it would be kasher. Ihachi shlokadin afilu reacha getein bo. If so, if that's the case, though, that on the rice level it's really kosher, when we say that the guy forces shloka din, it's not even a reyach haget. If on a daraisa level the guy forcing is just like the Jew's forcing, so when he does it shaloka din, shouldn't it be just like the Jew who does it shaloka din, where at least it passes her lekuhuna? It may be pasul get, but at least it passes her from kuhuna. So why, when a guy does it shaloka din, does it not even passel lekuhuna? Says Gemara, Hadar Rav Mesharshi Badusihi. Rav Mesharshi's comment was a joke. It was an exaggeration. It's not true that when a guy does it, it's kasher midin Torah, that it's dvar Torah get musa b'chavim kasher. It's not really true. V'tayim amai kadin b'kadin di Yisrael michlaf, shalok kadin b'kadin Yisrael lo michlaf. It's possible to confuse a case of a guy rightfully forcing with a case of a Jew rightfully forcing. But it's not possible to confuse a case of a guy unrightfully forcing with a case of a Jew rightfully forcing. If you look at Rashi, kedin da ovdei chavim sheisu lahotzi ubedin Torah, a guy who forces to get divorced and is following the din Torah, avogav de lav gita, who even though it's not a good get, gozubei rabbanon livsel lukuna, the rabbanon said it should still pass lukuna, mishum de michlav begedin de Yisrael, vasi the name Yisrael naim sheisu kedin lo pasul, because people might confuse that with the Jew forcing kedin, and people might think that when a Jew forces kedin, it doesn't pasul lukuna either. Vahi gita maliyahu, but that certainly does pasul. It's a valid get, but shalokadin of the kachavim bekadin the Yisrael lomichlof. People will confuse shalokadin of a guy with kadin of Yisrael. The iamid michlof but shalokadin the Yisrael vasi the name shalokadin the Yisrael nami lo pasul. And you'll say, aye, but maybe they'll confuse it with shalokadin of Yisrael, and they'll say that doesn't pasul either. So that, yeah, einokinami, they'll say that, but that itself is only a gezerah. Meaning the fact that shalokadin the Yisrael pasul itself is only a gezerah. So you're not going to worry about a gezerah legezerah. Let's quickly go weiter. Abai yashkel Rav Yosef Yosef kabas agiti abai. So Rav Yosef was forcing people to give gittin. Am leva anan hadiotas anan. We're only hadiotas. V'tanya arbitar v'nomer kol makom shad demotzei grosh lo v'chavim afal pi shadineim kedine Yisrael liyata rasha liyizakik lem. You're not allowed to go to the gayim. Shnemer ve'elim ha-shpat ha-shatasim lefneim. Pasuk says that the dayanim are lefneihem, lefneihem v'lo lefnei of the chavim. You're not allowed to go to gayim as dayanim. Davar achal lefneihem v'lo lefnei hadiotas. But similarly, you're also not allowed to go to a hadiot. So how can a hadiot be able to force people? It has to dafka be dayanim smuchim. So Am leva anan shlichusay kavdin. He says, no, don't worry. We're doing the shlichus of the batidrin Eretz Yisrael who are smuchim. Mididava odos alvos. Just like we're able to judge cases of odos alvos, even though we're not smuchim, because we're doing the work, the shlichus of the dayanim Eretz Yisrael. Ihach, gzeilus v'chavolos nami. If we're able to do their shlichus, shouldn't we be able to judge cases of gzeilus v'chavolos as well? Why do we need smuchim for that? So ki avdin shlichusayu b'milsa d'shchicha, milsa d'shchicha l'avdin shlichusayu. We're only considered to be their shluchim, and something that's common, something that's not common, we're not considered to be their shluchim. Because there's a lot to talk about in that point, obviously. Thank you.